So we are starting chapter 7, Perek Zayin, which is on Daf Yud Aleph. Last week, in Perek Vav, we discussed the issue of the three Klipas HaTmeis Legamri. He discussed the fact that there are three categories of Klipa, of the shell, of the dark side, that are totally evil. And obviously, we understand, the other Svarim point out, that there's no such thing which is absolutely, totally evil, because everything needs to be sustained by some spark of Kedusha. The point was that there's no way for us to be able to elevate or redeem that spark. So it's captive, it's held under the domain, totally under the domain of darkness, and there's no way for a Jew to elevate it. So it has, in Yiddish they say, etvus, it has some tiny spark of Kedusha that allows it to exist, and that's it. And he went through and talked about the fact that included in that are all categories of chai, human beings that are forbidden, of medaber, those are human beings, of chai, of animals that are prohibited, the minim temeim, the non-kosher animals, of tzemeach, of things that grow, like klaya kerem, like arla, things that are prohibited to eat inherently. And in addition to that, he discussed any thought, speech, or deed of prohibited, of actual prohibited conduct. All of those things belong totally to the dark side, to the Gimel Klipas HaTmeis Legamri, and they have no Kedusha at all. Notice, I think we mentioned last week, that he didn't mention anything in the fourth category of existence called daimim, the inanimate. And the reason for that is very simple, because there is no such thing as something which is inherently evil or of the Gimel Klipas HaTmeis in the mineral kingdom. Somebody can make it that way by worshipping an idol made out of stone, but it's not going to be originally that way. That would have to be something that a person would do to it. Now we're going to start Perek Zayin, which clearly is a hemshach, a continuation of Perek Vav. So we're Daf Yud Aleph. Ach, nefesh hachiyunis habahamish b'Yisrael. But the life-giving, physical, animalistic soul of the Jew, shemitzad haklipa, even though it comes from the vantage point, it comes from the klipa, hamulaveshes vidama odam, because it's contained in the blood of the human being, kinisbala el, as explained earlier. And unifashes behemis vichias vachayas vaifis vidagim tahirim, and the souls and the bodies of the animals and the wild animals and birds and fish, which are tahor, they're of the kosher species. In addition to their being kosher, they were slaughtered and killed properly, and as a result, umutarim b'achila, they are permitted to be eaten. Okay, so that category again, focusing on the mutter aspect of it, things which are permitted, and v'kiyim v'chiyus kol hadoimim, and the life source, the life-giving quality of all inanimate, not even that which grows, but all daimim v'chol tzemeach, and those things which grow, hamutar v'achila, that are permissible, so everything that's kosher. V'chein kiyum v'chiyas kol ha'mayis adibur ha'machshava, and so to the sustenance and the life force of all action, speech, and thought, b'inyana ilamazeh, about matters of this world. But the key is, she'ein bohem tzad iser, we're talking about the pariv areas of life that have no smacking of prohibition. Loy shayrish, not only are they not inherently evil, but v'lei anaf, they don't even smack of anything inappropriate. Of meshasamitzus leisese v'anfeyam, they are no part of any one of the 365 thou shalt not, or any offshoot of them. Deraisa udrabanan, whether it's biblical or rabbinic. What's the key then? Rak, she'ein on l'shem shamayim. The issue is, we're dealing with components of life that are not mitzvahs. They were not done for the sake of heaven. So we're dealing with all of the everyday activities, the business, the human interaction, the eating, the drinking, the sleeping, the playing, everything we do throughout our lives belongs to the realm of the klipa. And again, we're going to deal with which klipa this is. He hasn't talked yet about what it is. But this is going to be this fourth category, the parav category, which is all of these things that are not done deliberately for the sake of heaven. What are they? Ella, with three lines from the bottom of the page. Ella, rotzayn haguf, v'cheftzay v'tabosay. All of these things that we're discussing are the design, the interests of the body. What's more, he says, I'm not even talking about luxury items. I'm not talking about those things which are above and beyond. Even those things which are actual needs of the body. Things that are mamish needed to give life to the body. The key element here is that the person, when he sat down to lunch, did not have in mind that he was eating lunch l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven. What would that mean? How does that look when a person eats lunch l'shem shamayim? Here it is, guys. Nothing profound, nothing amazing. We're not talking about Kabbalistic secrets. But very simply, kidei lavei des Hashem begufay. Meaning, all the person needs to do to transform all these things into the realm of Kedusha is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his body. Now this person that we're discussing here is not doing that. Meaning, he is dabbling in the physical world, but he's not doing it l'shem shamayim. Okay, it's all mutter, everything's got a great heksher. Everything he touches, it's all got the best heksher in the world. But he's not eating at l'shem shamayim. He's not sleeping l'shem shamayim. He's not interacting and playing basketball l'shem shamayim. In that case, we're about to turn the page. Loi adife ma'ase dibur machshavos elu. So one cannot make any one of these thoughts, speech, or action better min nefesh hachiyunis habahamis ba'atzma. One cannot say that any of these things which he's doing for the sake of his body should be greater than the life-giving soul itself. And the life-giving soul itself also comes, as we discussed in the first chapters, from Klipas Noiga, meaning that they too are from this Parav area of Klipa that can go either way. So clearly, if a person is interacting with the physical world and he's not doing it for the sake of heaven, those interactions cannot be better than the person himself. Ve'hakoyel kasha lakoyel nishpa v'nimshach me'madrega hasheni shebeklipes v'sitra achra. And all of these things that we just mentioned, all are drawn from this second type of category of klipa, of the other side, which is the fourth klipa, hanikras klipas noiga. This is what's called the klipa of noiga. Noiga means to shine. It is that category of klipa in this world, hanikra olam ha'asiya, our world, the world that we live in, which is called the world of action. And he makes a very sad commentary about our world. Ruboy kikuloi ra. The majority of it, almost the entirety of it, is evil. Rak ma'at toiv mu'urav b'toicha. There's just a little bit of goodness that is mixed into it. Just a little bit. Okay? Shemimena boys, midas toiv, shebenefesh abahamish shebiyisrael. And that little bit, as we mentioned earlier, k'meshik savti le'el, that little bit of goodness that exists in the physical soul of the Jew is the source from which these inherent good attributes of Jews come from. The fact that we are garbin chassadim, we do acts of kindness, or by shonim, the Gemara mentions, there are several inherent good Jewish qualities, and those come from this pariv klipa called klipas noiga. What's the nature of this klipa? So let's define it. Here he goes. Vehi bechina mimutzas. It is a middle ground. Ben sholesh klipas hatemeyas ligamre, between the three totally evil shells, impure shells, ubein bechina umadregas hakedusha, and it is a bridge, a middle ground between that and that which is actually kadosh, that which is actually holy. Ulechein, because it is this middle ground, it can sway, it can go both ways. Ulechein pamim shunichleles b'sholish klipas atmeis, and therefore, at times, it joins the family of the three totally evil klipas. Upamim, but other times, shinichleles va'ela b'pchinu madreges hakedusha. At other times, it joins and is elevated to the level of holiness. How does that happen? So he gives you the scientific methodology of how, what takes place. Very fascinating. Dehainu, here's what happens. Kishatoiv hama'uriv ba. Nizbar mehara. Here's what happens. It's a shell. And if you use the physical example of a shell, the shell falls away, and the fruit that's inside, the nut, the good part, is elevated. So here too, when we're dealing with klipas noiga, and we interact correctly with klipas noiga, the process is that the evil of it falls away, and then the goodness of it is able to be elevated and included in holiness. Kigoyim derech Moshe, he says, let me give you some practical examples. This is my kind of guy. Somebody who eats a good, shtickel, fatty piece of steak. And along with it, he drinks some good, quality, sweet wine. Now, why is he doing this? He's doing this because he wants to sit down and tackle a difficult sugya in Shas. So in order to do that, he needs to know that he is well-fed, and if he sits down, has a good steak and a good cup of wine, he's going to be up to tackling the sugya. Kedama Rava, like Rava said, Chamra Verecha, Rava speaks about the fact that this wine and some good-smelling stuff gave him the ability to tackle a very difficult concept. So too, it is possible that we should sit down and eat and drink in order to be able to serve Hashem better. I remember seeing several weeks ago a beautiful, magnificent pshat on how it was that Yosef, when the brothers sold Yosef, so it says they threw him in the pit, and then they sat down to eat and drink. And all the mafreshim say, how could they be so callous? You go and sell a brother, throw him in a pit, or whatever they were going to do, and that you could sit and eat and drink? See, he says, quite the contrary. I believe it's one of the Rishonim says this, that they feared that the reason they were so irritated with Yosef is because they were hungry. And when a person is hungry, they're irritable. They wanted to make sure that they were not making any decisions based upon their irritability. So as a result, they said, before we make any decisions, we have to sit down and have a good meal. And then we can be certain that any decisions we're going to make are going to be a responsible decision. Continues the Baal Tanya. Another very practical eitzah, another practical situation of where we have the elevation of klipas noiga. Oy b'shvil k'dei l'kayim etzav zaynik Shabbos v'yontif. Or the person eats kishmaka meat and drinks good wine and good food in order to fulfill the mitzvah of enhancing Shabbos and Yontif. So there, that is inherently kodesh. Nothing else needs to be done. When a person interacts that way, they have then chosen, they have elevated the life source that's in that meat and that wine, she nishba miklipas noiga, shaya nishba miklipas noiga, that came from the klip of noiga. These were things that were permissible. They weren't mitzvah. They weren't avera. They were the paravari of life. V'oila l'Hashem k'oila u'kekarbon. And as a result, they are elevated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a sacrifice, like an oila. So that's an example of physical matter. Like he began the perek with saying that all those things which are permissible have the capacity to be elevated. Now he takes it to the next step, which was the next thing he mentioned earlier. And that is the action, the speech, and the thoughts, which are not necessarily mitzvah. So they're not Torah thoughts. They're not Torah speech. What are we talking about? V'chein ha'omer milsa debidiuchusa. So two people who repeat, who say funny things, and they do it for the purpose of lifakeach daitoi, to open, to expand their mind, ulesameach libay l'Hashem, and to put the person into a state of mind which is joyous, l'Hashem ul'teirosai v'avidosai, for the purpose of Hashem and his Torah study and his service, that the person needs to be in the right frame of mind, shitzrichim liyaz b'simcha, because all of those things need to be done with joy. Ukmeshasa Rava the Talmidav, like Rava used to do to his disciples, Sha'ama Lifneim, Milsa Dibdichusa Tchila Ubad Kirabanan. Rava would say humorous things to his Talmidim before he would teach them. And you find other Badchi Rabbanan, other Rabbanan, who would say funny things. They would do that in order to expand the minds of their Talmidim, and in order to put them into a frame of mind where they would learn better. So the joke itself was not a mitzvah, but it was for the purpose of a mitzvah. That is klipas noiga, which is then taken and elevated through this action because the action is connected to a mitzvah. However, we're, 6-7 lines from the bottom on page 22. But people who are gluttons in eating meat, and they just love drinking wine, and the only reason they do it is to be able to fulfill the design and the desires of their physical body. Like we discussed earlier in Tanya, that there are four elements in all creations. And the element of water is that which makes a person thirst for physical pleasure. From which stems the attribute of desire. And the person has no higher design. And by the way, it's, one interesting point would be, if a person says brachas correctly, I believe that there's talk in the various commentaries as to whether or not that is already a stage in elevation. The Maranayim writes that a person who says a bracha correctly has already elevated the food. So clearly there are levels upon levels. He even says, the Maranayim goes on to say, as far as the fact, it's an astounding thing, that even a non-Jew who eats food, and with the energy from eating that food, he does a favor for a Jew, on one level, that non-Jew had the capacity to be able to elevate klipas noiga. That's how far-reaching this concept goes. So here we're dealing with a person who's got no design whatsoever of connecting this to a godly experience. So what happens? Says the Balatanya. Hine ayidei ze yoyrid chiyus habosav ayayin shibikirbay. Unfortunately, the life source, the spark of holiness that exists in the wine and in the meat, is degraded. And it is temporarily held in the prison of total evil. In the three categories of inherently evil klipas. And now what's worse is v'gufoy nasan lehen levush u'merkava lefisha. And the person's body becomes the garment and the chariot, the holder, temporarily for the three klipis tameis that he just sent this into. So not only did the person take the life source that's in the meat and in the wine and deliver it into gimel klipis tameis, but that package of evil is now being housed in the person who did this. And it is temporarily there until the person repents, and he returns to the agenda of serving Hashem and his Torah. And he explains, why is this only temporary? Why is it not a permanent prison? Because due to the fact that the meat was permissible and the wine was kosher, we're now on the top line of Daf Yud Beis. Lekach yicholim lachsa v'lalois imai. Therefore, they have the capacity, they have the potential to be returned and elevated with the person b'shuvay l'avedas Hashem, when the person returns to serve Hashem. Now, here again, this is going to take on several different levels, because it's entirely possible that when the person finishes eating and drinking, although he totally was self-indulgent and had nothing in mind when he was doing it, but if, after he finishes, he goes into the Bismedrish, and he opens a sefer, and he uses that energy to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at that moment, he has now returned that energy to its correct standing. And he explains in the most magnificent way these terms. We never think about it because we use it all the time. Shezeu loshen heter umutter. This is why we use this very language of heter, which we normally translate as the permissible. Umutter. What the word literally means is kloimar. What it means is she'enoi kosher va'asur bidei achitzoinim. It is not bound and held captive in the hands of the other side in such a way that it cannot be returned and elevated to Hashem. Now, so the meaning of the person does have the ability to go back and redeem it. But there is a pitfall. Rakshar Shimon Mimenu Nishabguf. The problem is that despite the fact that the person goes back afterwards and elevates it, an impression is left on the body, a negative impression. This is why the body has to go through the various forms of pain after death in the grave, as he will discuss further on. And that's because of the negative impression left upon the body from the temporary hold, from the fact that temporarily he became the holder of these three forbidden klipas. Masha ein kein, however, categorically this is different. B'macholes asures, when we're dealing with trefa food, ubias asures, or forbidden sexual relationships, shen mishalish klipas hatameis the gamri, that come from the three totally forbidden klipas, is heim asurim mikshurim b'deachitzoinim liolam. They are bound up and tied to the other side forever. That's the word asur. Asur means to be locked up, like we say in the bracha in the morning, matir asurim. Vein oilim misham, and they will not be able, the chius that we've planted in those places through these actions cannot be elevated from there ever. Ad kiyava yoimam, until their day will come. Yivul amavas lenetzach, when death will be forever swallowed up. Kemeshik siv, and about that time it says, Vezruach atuma avrim in haaretz, Hashem will remove from the earth the spirit of Toma. So that's one way. So one way that it'll be redeemed and released will be when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will crack open every form of Klipa. As a result, even though we have fed Chiyus into the Klipa by eating something treif, so at the day then HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys the Klipa, all of that Chiyus will be released. But there is one other method. And that is ad shiyase tshuva gedoyla kol kacha, until the person does such an intense form of tshuva, shezidoynes nasa lekezachis. There's an awesome opportunity which HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows for, and that is called tshuva me'ahava, tshuva out of love, where our sages tell us that at that point, zidoynes, even acts that were done on purpose, in direct violation of Hashem's word, those zedoinis become mitzvahs mamish. They become literally like zachias. She tshuva me'ahava me'umka deliba. This is a form of tshuva out of love from the depth of one's heart. Bi'ahava rabba, with an overflowing love. V'chasheka, and thirst. V'nefesh hakecha, and a yearning soul. L'dav kabayis barach, to cleave to Hashem. V'tzamay nafshe l'Hashem, and his heart thirsts for Hashem. K'eretz ayefa v'tzia, like a desperate, yearning soul. Liyois, how does that work? How does a person generate that kind of yearning and love? So he explains it in psychological terms, very fascinating psychological terms. Liyois, because the person recognizes that up until this point, his soul has been in a world of waste and darkness. He has sitra achra, the dark side. The person has been distant from the countenance of Hashem in the extreme. When the person realizes how far they have strayed, so the result of that is tzama nafshay, his heart, his soul yearns, b'yeser oyz, with an extreme, extreme yearning, mitzimoy nafshay satzadikim, even more so than the yearning that we're told about the most righteous people. Kimamarim Chazal, and he says, I'm not telling you anything that Chazal don't explain. Chazal say, Bimakim Shabali Tshuva Imdim V'chulu, that in the place that the Baal Tshuva occupies, even the most righteous of people cannot compare. Why? Because the Tzadikim will never feel the yearning that the Baal Tshuva feels, because they've never been as distant from HaKadosh Baruch. This, therefore, is the reason that the Avera itself becomes a mitzvah, because it is the reason for the tshuva. The person never could have arrived at that level of tshuva were it not for the fact that they erred in the way that they did. As a result of that, the sin itself becomes the source and the reason for the tshuva, therefore it is transformed into a mitzvah. About this level of tshuva, it is about this level of tshuva that Chazal say that the Aveira itself becomes a mitzvah. Because through this he came to this love. But tshuva, which is not from this level of love, even though it is also a correct tshuva, a valid tshuva. And what's more, v'Hashem yislach le, Hashem forgives the person with a basic tshuva. Mikol mokoyim le'nasu le'kizachias. The difference is that in regular tshuva, the aver itself does not become like a mitzvah. And therefore, vein oilem me'aklipa le'gamri, therefore the energy fed through that violation is not able to be elevated Ad eis keitz yivul ha-mavas lenetzach, until the time comes when death will be removed. So therefore, there are two ways for the energy which has been fed through forbidden acts to be redeemed from their captivity in the dark side. One way is through tshuva mi'ahava, through this intense level of tshuva, and the second way will be, Emet Hashem, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes evil from the world, then he cracks it open and removes all Kedusha that has been held captive. We're at the period, six lines from the bottom of the page, on Daf Yud Beis. However, Achiyu Shebetipa Zera, the life source that exists in semen, Shiyotzu Mimena Livatola, that was wasted, it was emitted from the person for no good reason. Av Shiyod Avinichlola B'Sholish Klipas HaTameis, even though it too, as we said earlier, like any other forbidden act, that energy is contained in the three dark, totally dark klipas. Nonetheless, says the Baal Tanya, an amazing, controversial chiddush. Because Bepashtus, the Zohar says, and all the Sfarim quote, that one cannot do tshuva for Haitzo Zera Levatolo unless it is a very intense tshuva me'ahava. Comes the Baal Tanya and says a massive chiddush. He says that there's another way to be able to remove, to extract the chiyus of Shechva Zera Levatolo, even though it is contained and held captive by this three gibel klipis. Harezu Oila Misham, a person is able to remove it from the dark side, b'tshuva nechayna, with a regular tshuva, not tshuva mehava. Ubi kavona atzuma b'kriyashma shalamita, the person is able to do it with an awesomely intense tshuva stated by Krishma Sha'alamita, Kinoidim Arizal, as is known from the Arizal, that the Arizal has a nusach of Krishma Sha'alamita, it's printed in many of the Sidurim, it has a vidui in it, Umiromez B'Gemara, and this in fact is alluded to in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Kalakali, Kola, Kairi Krishma Mitasai. Anybody who reads Krishma at the bedside is ki'ilu eiches cherev shel shtei piyos. It's as if he is holding a double-edged sword. What's the point of, why does anybody want to go to sleep with a double-edged sword? Because laharoig gufos hachitzoinim, the point of the double-edged sword is to kill the prison of the chitzayim that's holding shenasu levush, that become the holders of lechius of the life source shebetipais, that is the purpose of the double-edged sword of laning kriyash mishalamita, is that sword is able to demolish the captivity of the holders of the chiyus of that life source fed to them by the emission of semen. V'oila chiyus mehem, and as a result of Kriyash Mashalamita, one is able to elevate that life source, ki yadu al yadichein, as is known to those who know the secrets. And he adds a magnificent twist here. Ulechein, and this is the reason why. This exception to the rule. So he made a rule up until now. He said the rule is that there's only two ways to be able to extract the feeding of the forbidden to the dark side. Either through an intense tshuva me'ahava or by the ultimate banishing of the dark side, of death. Those are the only two ways. Comes the Baal Tanya and says, but there's an exception to this rule. And the exception to the rule is going to be the prohibition of the emission of Zera Levatola. Says Ulechein, and for this reason, Lehuskar Oven Zera Levatola B'Torah, For this reason, this prohibition is not mentioned explicitly in Torah Shemiksav. Bichlal bias asuris, it's not mentioned alongside with the other prohibited sexual relations. Av shechamamahen, even though in many ways it's worse than them. Vigodal avoyna, and his sin is worse. Vibchines hagadlus, it's worse in the fact that it is a greater viribuy atuma vaklipa shemoyli dumar bebemoid moid. In many ways, he says, the person increases the amount of impurity and contamination that he's giving, feeding into the world. And he's doing so in a way which is worse and more intense than even actual sexual relations with a person that the person is not allowed to have relations with. So in one way he's saying it is much worse of a violation. Rak, but the distinction is shevibi is asurais in prohibited relations. Meisiv koyach v'chios beklipa tamea biyoser. He is feeding the life source that's in it to a extremely strong klipa adchen yochel halis misham achios b'tshuva, to the point where the person cannot get that life source out of there unless he does the intense tshuva we were discussing before. Right? And then can yasa tshuva miyahava rabba kol kach, until he does the kind of tshuva that we just discussed, which is such intense love, ad shedis adaynis nasa likizachias, to the point where we said that the very avera becomes the source for the mitzvah, and therefore is transformed into a mitzvah. With this we understand, a chazal say, what is considered something that a person makes crooked, that he cannot fix? This refers to someone who had a prohibited relation, and he gave birth to a mamzer. And he's using this allegorically, meaning it doesn't only refer to a person who physically gives birth to a prohibited child, to a, what we call a bastard. But it even refers to a person who had that relation and doesn't have a child. But in spiritual terms, that klipa cannot be redeemed. It's as if there is a physical child. Even if the person does a great tshuva, he can't elevate that chiyus to kedusha shekva yod alaylam azev and islam shabaguf basavadam. When a physical mamzer, the person is walking around on earth. So what are you supposed to do? How can the person possibly do tshuva if that human being is walking around? But the chiddush that he's saying is that when it comes to hitzah zera levatala, that is possible for a person to redeem, even without this extreme form of tshuva. How can one do it? By the proper tshuva, meaning a regular tshuva, and by saying the vidui of Krishma Shalamita. Now, we have a few moments. I would like to share with you how the Zayin Ramatala of our disciple in Paliyoyetz shares this distinction of Klipas Noiga with the other, showing how it is a middle ground with the other clip. So for those of you who went to Damesek.blogspot, Yitzchak Fox posted the hard copy here for you to follow along. That's Damesek.blogspot.com. Go to the Tanya tab, shiur number 9. He says as follows. This is a piece on Parshas Vayakel and Parshas Parah in the new Peliyoyetz that's coming out. It's on page 312. So he says as follows. Left-hand column, the last paragraph on the page. Hine yidua misvarim agdoshim. It is known from the Holy Svarim, and it brings here in the footnotes that this is straight out of the Kisvei Arizal. Asher b'chinas para, that the concept of the red heifer, meira al b'chinas noiga. The red heifer is this middle ground klipa, the klipa, the pariv klipa, the one that can be elevated and can, heaven forbid, be degraded. V'yadua. And we know, asher b'chinas noiga, that this klipa called noiga, hi mimutzas, it is a bridge bein agdusha, between holiness, the bein shalish klipas atmeis the gamre, and between those three klipas that are totally evil. Therefore, ulepame minechlalas bigdusha, sometimes this element called noiga is included in the realm of holiness, k'may b'shabbos kodesh, like the food and the activities of Shabbos Kodesh. U'kemoy kem b'chol inyan heter, the same is true of all things that are permissible, says Ramatala. Kashim is naig ha'adam al pi ha'Torah, if we conduct ourselves according to Torah, u'kemoy sha'amru b'chol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim, all of your actions should be for the sake of heaven, meaning even if they're not a mitzvah itself, they should be for the sake of doing a mitzvah. Azai, if a person interacts with the world that way, then he nechlel es b'kedusha. Then it becomes inclusive in kedusha. U'keshechas v'shalem nimshech achar achamidu deliba. But if the person is just following after their appetites and their desires, l'male taiva b'maisris, to just fulfill their desire with excessive things, he nechlelis b'shalosh klipas atmeis, then it becomes bound up and one with the three totally tamei klipas. Now look what he does with the pasuk. Valzem meira kosav b'parshas parah, says Ramatullah. This therefore is alluded to in the pasuk in parshas parah. The pasuk says you got to take a red heifer, asher ein bo mum, that doesn't have a blemish, Ashalei ola oleha oil, upon which a yoke has not been placed. Says Ramatullah, shalipamim, sometimes, ein bomum, sometimes it has no blemish. That refers to kishenech leles b'kedusha. When it becomes included in the realm of kedusha, then it has no blemish. It becomes perfect. Ulipamim le'ola aleha oil malchus shamayim, but sometimes the yoke of heaven was never placed upon it. Kishenechleles chas v'sholem, when it, heaven forbid, becomes included b'sholesh klipas atmeis, when it becomes part of the dark side, then it's le'ola aleha oil. V'chol ze toli b'snagas adam, says Ramatullah, all of this is dependent upon how a person conducts themselves, b'chol inyan b'gashmiyim, in his interactions with the physical world. U'lechein tzorech ha'adam la'aseis la'atzmei b'chines geder gvul. For this reason, each of us must make for ourselves boundaries, b'chol tzorech b'gashmiyim, in all of our physical actions, shalai lotzeis migvul ha'hechrech, not to step out of the boundaries of the necessity, ulikadish atzmoy b'mutalay, and to sanctify oneself in that area which is permissible. So I was discussing with a Rav last night the issue of the Rabbanim are getting together to deal with the challenges of the internet. So They're getting together, a task force, and all the Rabbanim are going to get together. And I said to this guy, you know, I'm getting very tired of people who are putting band-aids and dealing with symptoms rather than dealing with the core problem. So I said to him, the core problem is no normal human being is going to, while he's learning Gemara, is going to turn on the internet and go to a porn site. When will a person do that? A person will do that when they're involved in something which is not holy. So therefore, I'm doing whatever it is anyway, so I'll go and I'll get into something improper. So I said to him that the issue of what the Torah world has done to the workforce among them, has been, look, we are the holy ones. You guys have sold out to the forces of darkness. You never had to go and sell your soul to the Satan and go out to work. So when people realize and or imagine that they've already left the realm of Kedusha and have gone out into the other realm, okay, so there's not such a big difference if I'm working or if I'm surfing the improper sites. Whereas the attitude of the Talmid Baal Shem has always been that everything needs to be brought under the umbrella of Kedusha. And therefore, even when a person is sitting at their desk at work, it too is part of the realm of Kedusha. So there should be little difference, therefore, in the person's attitude if they're sitting at a Gemara or if they're sitting and working at the computer terminal selling stocks. Whereas if we make the distinction that this is Kadosh and this is Tameh, then there really is no reason for the person to feel that they're making such a departure from Amavdim and Kadosh L'chol. So I said to the guy, instead of trying to dealing with the symptom, it's time that we take on the real issue and fix the perception and the distortion which has been hoisted upon Klal Yisrael there only being one realm of life, which is Nichlal and Kedusha, and everything else automatically belongs to the other side. If we fix that, people will understand that even when they're interacting with the world, that they too are interacting with the world of Kedusha, then their self-image is different, and the image of their activities are different, and the temptation to go off to such things would be severely limited.